beautiful they look. And we may do that toward the end of the service. I want to say to those of you that are visiting with us that we're glad you're here. We hope in the course of visiting here at Victory Church that you see Christ. I want to read some scripture this morning from the 28th chapter of Matthew. These are the same passages I read in the sunrise service. But I want to continue them. There's a part of this that was left undone that I want us to pay attention to and take note to. Jesus Christ came, He died, He resurrected. The Bible says there are many infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. This morning I talked about how much power it must have taken for Jesus to break the shackles of death, to come from that afterlife, that other world, that Hades, to break the bondage of death, to revive, to come back alive, the power to make a corpse stand up. I mean, that's powerful. Jesus has that kind of power. He displayed that. He demonstrated that. I want to read a portion of the Great Commission where He declared to the church as He stood there in His resurrected body. Now, there were a lot of things that preceded that in this 28th chapter of Matthew that I want us to pay attention to. I talked this morning about there being a quakening, how that the earth quaked. I talked this morning a little bit about the fear, the trembling that went on by the guards. I talked about the seeking that went on by His disciples, how they were searching. Once they found Him, there was teaching that went on. He taught them or told them or instructed them and guided them on what they needed to do. And at the latter part of the 28th chapter, we find an empowering. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Let's read these passages. Begin in verse 1. I'll read those again. It says in the end of the Sabbath, "As it began to draw, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake." I mentioned this morning that this is a package. This is a prelude. This is an insight on some things that's going to happen off in the future. We are introduced here at the resurrection of Jesus Christ some preliminary aspects of some future events. Listen, there's going to be a great shaking of this earth at the coming of the Lord. The Bible says that the islands are going to move out of their place. The Bible says that the sky is going to roll up as a scroll. I believe there's going to be fire and brimstone raining from heaven. Amen. This world is going to be destroyed with fervent heat. Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and the earth is going to shake once again. Now this small shaking that we hear about in these particular passages of Scripture loosened the stone from its place and enabled the disciples to enter into the tomb where Jesus had been laid. I believe at the coming of the Lord that every grave is going to burst open. Can you imagine that? The power that it's going to take for all of those corpses that are in the cemeteries across this world coming forth. Those that have been buried in the seas, they're going to come forth. Amen? Amen. No matter where anybody's body ends up, the Bible says there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The Christianity is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said that if Jesus did not resurrect, he said that our faith is vain, our preaching is vain, and we're yet in our sins. Amen. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. Now I understand first fruits. First fruits means that they gave of the first of the harvest with expectation and anticipation of a larger harvest following. We too shall follow, amen? Amen. So there was a shaking. We noticed here that as the angel of the Lord appeared, descended from heaven, and was beheld there in verse 2, they rolled back the stone from the door. They were sitting upon it. Their countenance was bright and white as snow, and the raiment We read in verse 4 that there was fear of him, the keepers of that day did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye. I'm glad we don't have to fear the coming of the Lord. Listen, when you've been saved by the grace of God, there's an anticipation. There's an expectation. Amen. We don't fear the coming of the Lord. Actually, we're looking forward to it. We're watching and waiting. The Lord Himself is going to descend with a shout. The voice of an archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which rely and remain, we're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. We're anticipating, we're longing for that. We're expecting the coming of the Lord. But if you're here today and you have not been saved, you need to fear the fact that you are unsaved and the Lord's coming back. Amen. You need to be ready for His coming. You need to know some things about His death. You need to experience some things about His resurrection. We need to have a relationship with a risen Savior. Not just hear about Him, not just on occasion think about Him. We need to experience for ourselves the power of His resurrection. Paul mentioned that in the book of Philippians. But we notice here, there was a fear that they had. And the angel said, you don't need to be afraid. They were asked for, I know, who, they were told rather, that they knew that they were seeking Jesus who had been crucified. They said He was not here, that He had been resurrected. They invited those that came to His tomb that morning in verse 6 to come and see the place where the Lord lay. They were instructed to go tell the disciples these things. Jesus, of course, appeared on that road and He said unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. Jump down to verse 18. Jesus came to them in Galilee and He spoke unto them and He said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now I realize there's a lot of scholars, a lot of preachers through the years who have said, well, Jesus was talking about Him having all authority. Well, I don't doubt that. I don't have a problem with that interpretation, but I still contend that Jesus has all power. Amen. I mean, He was standing before them disciples, and He had come forth from the grave. I mean, there He stood in His glorified, resurrected body. The Bible says that He came forth of His own will, of His own volition, of His own power. Jesus was resurrected by His own power. Now, He demonstrated and He displayed a profound power in coming forth from the grave. In the book of Philippians, we read that this power that was demonstrated and displayed on that particular occasion is something that believers experience in their life. We get power from above. We need power from above. We experience life-changing, life-altering power. Every single Christian needs to have a relationship with a risen Savior, a Savior who has power. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul was talking about knowing and experiencing and being able to relate to the power of His resurrection. He went a little further and talked about the suffering, of the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. In other words, the Bible is telling us that He arose and He imparted unto every believer this resurrection power. Jesus came to give power to us. Power to live the crucified life. Power to live for Him and walk with Him. Power to experience not only great things in this life, but even great things in death. His resurrection power is something that each one of us need to daily experience. Daily rapturing in this resurrection power. I was kind of intrigued by something that somebody said this morning at the sunrise service. They were talking about how they felt as they got out of bed this morning. You know, coming to the sunrise service, and perhaps you felt that way this morning coming to this service. on this particular occasion, that it's a special occasion and you need to arise and do something for Jesus and experience something in Christ and be in church. But you know, every day that we roll out of bed, we ought to experience resurrection power. I mean, we need to get up and say, this is a day that the Lord has made. We can be glad and rejoice in it. We need to be able to experience some of that in our hearts and lives every single day. This justification that does not lead to sanctification. This justification by grace through faith that doesn't lead you to walk a Christian life is antinomianism. It's not real. It's not true. It's not genuine. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. And any of the sanctification that people have, people trying to exhibit some kind of Christian life, separate and apart from justification by faith, those that go about talking about being Christians but have never been born again of the Spirit of God, it's Phariseeism. It's not real. The Bible tells us that we each day need to experience a genuine power, a living Savior. Every day we live in that power, I believe, testifies and verifies that Jesus is alive. When people of the world see us living in the power of Christ, when they see us living and doing, which we cannot do apart from that grace and that power, that testifies, that verifies that Jesus is alive. We declare that power in the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. I have a serious problem with religion that doesn't have divine power. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't give you half a hallelujah for a church or a gospel or a preacher or a message or a religion that does not experience divine power. Even Paul, on one occasion, he said, when I went about preaching, I didn't preach with enticing words of men's wisdom. But he said, I came preaching to you that you might experience power. Not with man's wisdom. He said, but I came preaching in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what people need to experience today. A good proof text that I like to use is 1 Corinthians 1 and 24, where the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the power of God. It is Jesus that says to people today, come unto me. Come unto me. You have to go to Jesus to get the power. If you ever live a Spirit-filled Holy Ghost life, you're going to have to go to Jesus Christ. You cannot get God's power without going to Jesus Christ. But he says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and ignorant and sinful, and I will change you, I will save you, I will help you, I will guide you. Isn't that what he does for us? Amen. The power to be guided in life. Listen, people are out there messing their lives up, and all they need is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the answer. He can distribute, he can impart, he can empower you to be changed and transformed. I remember years ago I was laboring in Florida. And as most of you know, I was preaching out of a garage. Most of the people that came there, a lot of them were alcoholics and drug addicts. And I remember there was one man that came in and it was obvious to me that he had some kind of addiction. It was obvious to me that he had lived a very immoral and wild life. He had long hair and earrings. I mean, he had his cap turned backwards, you know. He was one of those, I don't know what all he'd been involved in. I really didn't care. But I began to preach to him Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. Amen. But people don't need to hear 5 points of prosperity. They need to hear about Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus that will change their life. There's no other name under heaven whereby my men must be saved. It's the glorious, precious name of Jesus. I began to preach to him Jesus. It wasn't long before Jeff became a seeker. He got under conviction and he was in trouble over his sins. And I kept telling him, there is available through the blood of Jesus a power to change your life. I still believe that today, don't you? I'm telling you people, there's a power through the blood of Jesus that can change your life. By faith, that young man began to believe the gospel and trust the gospel message and believe the Bible and believe that there is a God and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He began to seek after God with all of his heart, and he sought one day and another day, and a few other days went by. Praise God, one day he went to the altar that night. He came up and he jumped up on his feet and said, Tim, I've got it. I've got the power. Listen. Anything short of the power of God and his resurrection power being experienced and displayed in your life is not enough. Amen. It's not enough to sustain you in this life. It's not enough to sustain you in death. And it's not enough to sustain you in the judgment. Listen, my friend, you need genuine resurrection power, and it's available through Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, yes. He will help you. You need to be changed. Amen. You cannot change yourself. Oh, there are people that perhaps go through some type of reformation. And I know there's good programs that help people get off certain addictions. But I still contend that there's power in God through Christ Jesus to change and transform your life. Amen. Jesus said, I have all power. Go to him who has all power. He's wanting to distribute that today. He wants to change you. How can we ever measure the strength and power that he displayed to be restored to life, to be recovered from death, to come out of the tomb like he did? What amazing, wonderful, marvelous power that was demonstrated. I contend that every one of us needs to know and experience that power. You may have lived a good moral life. You may have went forth and told people that you were saved. You may have lived like a Christian and said, I'm okay. I've never committed any hideous or bad sins. You're the worst of sinners. You're a Pharisee. You have self-righteousness. You need to see that your self-righteousness is as filthy rags. You need a power to change your way of thinking, where that you can see yourself as God sees you, where you can cast yourself at the foot of the cross and be saved. Amen. These people that go around saying that they've never been lost, they have not been to the fountain, they have not drank of the living water. You got to be lost before you can be saved. Amen. This is a true and faithful saying worthy of acceptation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. You got to be a sinner before you can ever be saved. You need to experience this power that transforms, this power that Jesus talked about that converts us, this power that saves us and changes us, this power that is like a recreation deep inside of us where we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual resurrection that takes place deep inside of our hearts. Why is it, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, that some would want to deny the power? He talked about people who denied the power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Now he instructed us, he instructed Peter in that day, or Timothy in that day, and the other churches of that day, that they need to turn away from that kind of religion. A religion without divine power, the Bible says, get away from it. Get far away from it. Turn away from it. The Bible says, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. How can you celebrate the resurrection of Christ and not acknowledge a life-altering, life-changing power? I want us to look in The book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, hurriedly, and I'm about to close. But there in that passage, he talked about the exceeding greatness that Christians experience, the exceeding greatness of his power. And he mentions this in connection with us living our lives as Christian. In other words, he implies here that there is a whole series of acts of power toward us. Not just one, but many. In other words, the apostle was talking about this continual experience of the power of his resurrection. Are you going to experience it today? Do you realize that it is the power of God that keeps you saved? Are we kept by the power of God unto salvation? Do you realize that it's the power of Jesus that presents us before Him perfect and holy and acceptable each day of our lives? We don't do that on our own. We do it through His power. There was a power exerted in their conversion in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And there's a power that's exerted today in the conversion of lost souls. Amen. You must experience that power. It's a power that raised the dead. It's a power that raises us spiritually. It's a power that enables us to live the Christian life. In all its different forms and stages, as we try to live for Jesus, it is the power of God that is manifested toward us. We are enabled to live the Christian life by His power. Now, too many times we as Christians go out and we imply to a world that we're doing this by our own power, but we're not. If we are presented before a world as we should be, walking circumspectly, we are walking in His power. If we're walking righteously and holy, we are walking in His power. We can't do it on our own. We need His power. Christ often spoke of our relationship to Him. And He said it would be based upon this power. How is Christ the power of God? Didn't He demonstrate His power in His words? Didn't He display His power through His miracles? Didn't He constantly declare and show the disciples that He had power? Do you think they when they were standing there and He was in His resurrected body, didn't they already think He had the power? I mean, He stood there at the tomb of Lazarus, who had been buried for 4 days and stunk. He knew he was dead, but he stood on the outskirts of that tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." He told Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. I have the power." And He displayed that and demonstrated that over and over and over again to the disciples. When people cried through the ages, "Show us the Father," Jesus came among men and displayed and showed people the Father. You can't see God unless you go through Jesus Christ. You don't know the Father unless you know Jesus. He said, "If ye had known me," Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, verse 7, "you should have known my Father also." From every angle, at all the different levels, in every stage of Christ's life, He displayed God's power. In His birth, in His life, in His ministry, in the miracles that He did. He displayed God's power in His death, and especially in His resurrection. We're talking about almighty power. All power was given to Jesus. And I want to say this, the Bible teaches that it's been given to us. That we can experience His power in our lives. Jesus declared in John 10 and 18, "I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up again." I'm glad He's not dead. I'm glad He is not dead. He is alive. Amen. I'm glad that He displayed that power. And that power is dispersed to us. The Bible says in Acts 4 and 33 that the disciples, the apostles, they had great power given to them to witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 10 that we should be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and 3 that we are a people that experience a divine power in our lives, that we have this this harmony with the divine power according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Over and over and over again, we read that the kingdom of God is not words, but it's power. In the book of Corinthians chapter 4, verse 22, there are passages one after another to tell us that we are able to experience the power of His resurrection. The question is this morning, have you experienced the power of His resurrection? Paul said on one occasion in the book of Galatians, he said, you know, I have been crucified with Christ. And he went on a little further and he said, you know, I live because Christ lives in me. Have you that life in you? A power that enables you to live the Christian life. You know, one of the reasons we have so many people that claim Christianity but don't live it is because they didn't get it. Amen? They may have come to the cross in their minds, but unless you have believed with all of your heart, you're lost. And when I came to the cross, there was a life-changing, life-altering, life-transforming power that I experienced. And you know, that just ensures me and guarantees me that when this body is laid beneath the ground, when the skin worms devour this old body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I have assurance after assurance. I have witness after witness. I have experience after experience of His power. And you need that in your life. This thing cannot be abstract. It cannot be something off in the distance. It must be real inside of you. Amen. Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have all power. I'm alive. Amen. Wow. He's worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be believed. He is worthy of all honor and glory and praise coming from your life. Because He has all power. I appreciate your attention. We're going to get a song and sing. If you're here today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never experienced the new birth is just an introduction to His power. It's just an introduction to the power that your life is going to be afforded. It's just an introduction to the different degrees of power that it will one day experience. I mean, it's one thing to save the soul. It's going to be another thing when He saves all these bodies. Amen. And I'm not sure which is a greater degree of display of power. I tend to think the latter. Don't you? When all these bodies come forth out of the grave, I know this much. Everybody will know it and everybody will see it. Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming with great power and glory. Power and glory. The Lord is coming back. And you need to be ready. There needs to be a time and a place in your life where you were born again of the Spirit of God. There needs to be a time and a place in your life where you begin to experience His power. When you go to the cross, you look on Him whom you pierced and you trusted Him with all of your heart. If there was not something that transpired inside your soul that let you know that your sin debt was canceled, that you were forgiven of your sins, you need to be saved. Amen. You're not born again. You're not ready. You need to be saved and have a believing application of the blood of Jesus. Come to the cross. Amen. You might say, well, I don't think I can live that Christian life thing. I can't do that. I've been so far out there in sin. Listen, Jesus not only was released from the shackles of death, but he can release you from the shackles of sin. He can. He has the power. Do you guys believe he has the power? Amen. He can make a drunkard sober? Amen. Huh? An addict clean? Can he do that? Amen. He can do beyond that. Amen. Far beyond that. Look at the lives that he's changed in here. A lot of y'all would probably be in jail if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't know what kind of goatish attitudes you guys had, but he made lambs and sheep out of you. Amen? I'm glad he changed him. He delivered me. Praise God. I'm glad I've been delivered. Been delivered by his power. Let's stand and sing a verse, some song. If you've not been delivered by the power of Jesus, come have a relationship with our living Savior. He will set you free.